The Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God. I'm your host, John Fowler. John Sandy in the house today. Hello, John Sandy.
Good morning, John Fowler. The John Show. Good morning, everybody.
This is the first one.
Or good day, whatever time.
Right? This is the first one of the year.
Oh, you see, you can't say stuff like that.
You can if it's next year. If somebody's listening to it like next year, you could say this was the first one of the year.
If you could time it out like that, sure, John.
You could. We'd have to be doing that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
no doubt. Yeah. So how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, you going to give me congratulations or anything?
What for?
My birthday.
Is that today?
No.
When is your birthday?
October.
I said, did I miss your birthday? No,
no,
I didn't miss your birthday.
But I was thinking, you know, I learned that if I celebrate more than once, I get more stuff.
Well,
and I'm registered at Walmart, if you need to know.
All in the gift exchange there. Well, you know, the thing about it is, when John Sandy went to school, there was no history.
He helped create it. When you hear
of
people like they made history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, right here.
You made it.
Yeah.
You helped make it. I can believe that.
Me and E&A.
E&A? Do you say L.A.? L.A. or N&A? L.A. You'll get offended by that. Do you start? saying he's
no A&E.
A&E.
Yeah.
Hey, L.A.
A&E. Adam and Eve.
L.A. You know who your friends are. That'd be me. That'd be me. I'll see you on Friday. Me and you'll.
Yeah.
We'll talk.
So I'll hang out too.
You'll hang out too. Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of shindigs at your house the next few days, isn't there?
Well, they got the Bible study tonight.
Yeah.
And then Friday, our Connect group.
Yeah. I'm thinking about coming to that.
That would be nice.
I really am, you know.
And what's kind of neat is some of our members that come to that, Sandy and her daughter, they're going to be doing the Bible study tonight also.
They are. That is so cool.
I think so. Yeah, they want to be a part of that. So
that is so awesome.
That's gravy, man.
Got a church going.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
You know, it's awesome. That's about what it is. You know, no doubt about it. So, well, so what do you feel like, you know, it seems like that a lot of people, a lot of pastors, they have a vision thing for, you know.
The new year.
The new year and all
like
that kind of
stuff. Like a slogan or something like that.
Yeah. Do you have a slogan?
Get through in the new.
Get through in the new? I'm glad you said the new.
New.
Yeah, the new.
Oh. Yeah, see that guy at Bass Pro Shop?
No.
He raked his car outside, came inside, stripped naked, and jumped in the aquarium.
Are you serious? With all those fish?
Yes.
Really?
And he's hanging on the glass like this.
No.
It was on the news and everything. Of course, they had certain things blocked out, but you know.
Did they really? That's crazy. I don't know. You kind of keep up on the news more than I do.
Well, I just happened to see that. I've been watching a lot of The Chosen lately, getting ready for the new season, you know, reviewing.
I'm
the
so
other
far
ones.
Behind.
Yeah, season four starts, I think, sometime in February.
It does?
We'll have it in the theater, the first two episodes.
Wow.
And looking forward to that. Because what happens is when you watch, like, the first three seasons, you start to see certain storylines developing, and you're just wondering where they're going to go. Like, we've met Lazarus in one of the third season's scenes. Now we know, you know, Lazarus raising from the dead is coming. I can't wait for that. That's going to be neat. And then Mary and Matthew seem to have a little thing going, liking each other some.
Mary, yeah. I remember that happening.
Matthew, he has a little Asperger, I think.
Right.
That's the way they project him. And but, man, it's just so wonderful. The healing scenes are just, I never get...
Never get
tired of them. No, they're just really good stuff.
So. Tell me if you were Lazarus, wouldn't you be pretty hacked? I would be, knowing that you had to die and then
because he couldn't be there when he could have been. I mean,
well, no, the thought about dying twice.
Oh, because he has to go through it again.
Yeah, and so you know. So my question would be: how old was Lazarus when he died the first time?
Mm-hmm.
And then how many years did he live the second time? So was it always over his head that he thought, oh, I've got to do this again. I cannot believe you did that, Jesus. You know.
Well, he was all wrapped up in himself.
That's so bad.
That was pretty bad.
That was good, though. You know, it really was. No doubt. But, that'd be like Jesus's first dirty diaper. You know, it's like, really, God, really? You know, I had to leave.
Well, it says he grew in stature, right? Yeah. So we have a hard time understanding that when he was a baby, he acted like a baby.
Yeah, he had to.
And even though he was probably the age of accountability when they lost him and he was with the scribes and stuff and they were marveling over his intelligence and knowledge, and he knew God's will, he knew where he had to be even at that age. But before that, you know, he learned carpentry things and
Mashy stone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the craziest thing about it, I don't think a lot of people think of Jesus happened to do that. One of the scriptures that trips me up a lot is he was perfected through his suffering. It's like, I don't get that. It's like, how in the world? I mean, Jesus perfected through his suffering? He's already perfect.
Well, let me put
it. Was that the natural man? I don't know.
That's a good point. I'm working right now on a message entitled, Are You Flesh or Spirit? And, man, I get into some heavy stuff. And I was running yesterday, and I got this word on this message that it was sobering. Because I always think inward first. Anytime I work on a message, I look at myself and analyze myself and look at where I am before I get around to sharing it. Because I don't share anything that I'm not attempting to walk.
Wow.
I just don't do it. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it. First of all, I can't preach someone else's revelation.
Yeah, that's good.
And so I have to get it myself. Whether I get the word from someone else and then I get the revelation or God gives it me directly, like I was out running. He gave me a word on the seriousness of unforgiveness. Wow. And I went right to the scripture. And when I went to the scripture, it's very, very clear what he says. And I just looked at myself in fear and trembling, said, Lord, help me. Because, you know, every once in a while you have struggles with things or someone says something and hurts your feelings or someone treats you a certain way. You feel like you're being isolated or whatever. It could be all kinds of things, little things, bigger things. And I had to make sure, no matter what the situation was, that I'm clear. Yeah. Then I said, Lord, right over here and right over here, Lord, I give this to you, and I ask you to forgive me if I have failed here, and bless them, whatever the person or situation might be. Lord, I pray you bless them. And I've said before, you cannot bless someone after a while and still hate them. You can't do it.
No.
So if you have to fake faith it, I mean, if that's what you want to call it, hypocrisy is doing what you don't want to be.
Yeah.
Hypocrisy is not like trusting God and doing your best and you're fighting battles, but you're still obeying God according to the word. That's not hypocrisy, but the devil wants to tell you that it is. So whenever these things come up in my life and God's working with me on a message, I got another message that I've been working on entitled, I forgot already. God wants to be where you are. God is looking for people that want to. They're looking for him. That's the title. God's looking for people that are looking for him.
Right.
So when you made the comment a minute ago about, and to review again real quickly what you had just said, it made me think of this, and I wanted to share something based upon that. Do you remember what you just said?
About, I don't know, we've said so much.
I had to do with, I think, being clear about things. Oh, what is the flesh? You were talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
So what is spirit? What do you remember now what it was?
You were the one who said it.
You said something that made me think of this.
Gosh, I don't know. Let me rewind this.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah. And see what I said. I can't remember.
But anyway, it had to do with discerning the flesh from the spirit. I think it had a little bit to do with, if I'm not mistaken, John, what you just said. And the thing is, I asked this question, are you spirit or flesh? And if they say, well, I think I'm both, I said, I would agree with you.
Right.
My next question is, which one's in control?
Yeah.
And it's a daily choice. You can let your flesh have its way,
mm-hmm.
and you can feed that thing, and you can pet it and stroke it and feel sorry for it, poor boy, and you can do all that kind of stuff. You can do that if you want. Or you can choose to obey God by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Just obey God. Don't worry about the feelings.
Right.
Because the flesh isn't going to agree with you anyway.
Right.
And that's what carnality is. It's simply going by your five senses. It's not all carnality is sin, but all sin is carnality.
That's good.
See? Yeah. So you look at you analyze your life. See, we've got to be honest. What's the first way you attack the flesh? Realize that it starts with your thought life.
All right.
Well, I'm getting a lot of stuff here, but it's I'm real excited about it. And I found one particular scripture on taking every thought captive. I think it was that one. And John, right before it and right after it, it says these words, put on the full armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, you make a decision. You aren't born with armor.
That's good.
You will seek him and you will get your assignments and you'll put it on and hopefully never take it off. My wife was talking about putting on the armor every day because we all use that expression, right? I put on the armor every day. Well, I said, well, hopefully, honey, you're not taking it off.
Right.
Just review the armor. And it doesn't mean that you don't have the armor on when you fail. It's just that one part of your armor, and this is real important, John, one part of your armor may be missing.
Right.
So you could do this, do everything right, but if you don't have the helmet of salvation, or if you don't have the shield of faith, and it says lifting the shield, you got to do something with that faith. So you could have a part of the shield missing, a part of the armor missing, and you leave opening for thought. So that's when the thought life can get in. So I didn't mean to get into all that, but
that scripture is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5.
10:5, you're right.
It says, take your thoughts captive,
mm-hmm.
and that simply means gaining control over.
Yeah, and it's a choice.
Yeah.
People say all the time, well, they made me mad, or I just can't help it. You know, we use expressions for a lot of things, and we got to stop it. See, the reason why I'm excited about this message, John, is because if God ever lets me share it and have mercy on me and share it, that I am walking it so I can share it, it's cleaning house.
Right.
It's clean, and I'll tell you why it's cleaning house, John. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to listen, but they're now going to be responsible when they hear it.
Right.
See, God only speaks when someone can hear.
Right.
And when he speaks, you not only can hear, he's asking for, he's wanting an answer. Mm-hmm. See, God never speaks unless he wants an answer.
Wow, that's really good.
He wants to know, what are you going to do with this? Right. You got it now. You have the knowledge. You're accountable now. Right. You heard the message. You can leave the church and listen to a message like this and go on hating and doing anything, but you're accountable now. That's why I call it cleaning house, because you better do something with this. Because scriptures, it's powerful. It's in Ephesians. And so anyway, but I won't get into the thing he showed me. But John, I was writing, and he gave me this phrase. I took it really serious because I looked at myself first. I'm not here to judge anybody or analyze anybody, but we're not fruit inspectors. We love that term. Well, I'm just a fruit inspector. No, only a righteous man judges righteously.
That's what the word says.
Yeah, if you're not righteous, you better take your hands off of people and work on yourself. And if you can't love, forget about the gifts you have. Just forget about it. You're like the Bible says, you are like tingling cymbals and brass when you don't have love. When you operate in, he said, even if you could speak the mountains, he didn't say you could speak the mountains. He said, if you could speak to a mountain and move it, but do not love, you're like sounding brass. He didn't say you could do it without love. No, if you could, it would be impossible to do it without love. So there you go. So I feel like I just was a machine gun right there or drinking from a fire hose. I don't know, but I apologize. I didn't mean that.
Well, no, but, you know, it's like we should end there.
I'm done.
We should end there, and I'll tell you why, because you just gave him, like, so much stuff, and then now you're going to just pile it on.
Well, we could stop there if you want to.
No, that's so good. That's good stuff.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm just I'm fired up over Revelation.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And God's not going to give you Revelation if you're not taking it serious.
Right.
He just won't do it. But if he thinks that you'll do it, watch what he does. I tell people that all the time. Hey, just ask God and watch him work. I say that a lot of times. Watch him work. If you give him, like I've said in my class, every encounter is an opportunity.
Right.
And God does not waste his time.
No.
He won't do it. If you're not going to do it, he'll find someone until he finds someone that will.
Right.
So we just need to get our antenna up and watch God work. I mean, make yourself available. First of all, start out with praise and thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've said before, you can't thank him if you haven't. You can't praise him unless you first thank him.
Right.
See, praise, and this is something that maybe a lot of people don't know. Praise comes out of what? A thankful heart. You can't praise him without a thankful heart.
Right.
But if you have a thankful heart, praise just comes out. It just does. It's just there. And all of a sudden, you're like, man, I'll just be walking to the house or something, and I'll think of something God's done. I say, oh, God, thank you so much. That it was so awesome. And then I automatically just start praising. I don't have to think about it. It's just you start praising him. So that's why he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. See, John, the devil has a gate.
Right.
Now, he said his gates will not stand against him, right? That means we are to take his territory.
Oh, yeah.
He wouldn't have a gate unless he wanted to keep you out of something. But God wants you to go. You had to go and equip, though. You had to have your armor on. You had to be ready. It's like the seven brothers of Sceva that
got tore up. Oh, yeah.
maybe that was the guy at the bass shop that
I was thinking.
Could be one of the brothers.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about Ray Stevens a minute ago.
Look at that.
Yeah. That's so crazy. Well, yeah. I mean, when you stop and think about, but then, you know, if you have a grateful heart, you know, I was thinking about this when you said that. If you have a grateful heart, the praise comes easy.
Oh, John.
But then there's times where you have that sacrifice of praise.
Yeah, and sacrifice is when you are just simply doing it because you love him. It's the right thing to do. Hey, it's good when you do things that just the right thing to do. And John, I'm telling you, it works. You spend at least 20 minutes in praise, God will start to lift you in your situation. Mm. Now, maybe for that moment, you have to do it again, and maybe down the road, maybe an hour or so later, who knows, depending on what the crisis is.
All right.
But if we stay in praise, we stay in his presence.
Wow, that's really good.
He said, I inhabit the praises of my people.
Right.
So when you stay in praise, you stay in his presence. When I praise him, I imagine myself in a bubble with just me and him. Because I know he promises to be there.
Right.
He said, I inhabit the praises of my people. That means, folks, if you want God to be in your midst, praise him with a thankful heart.
That's so good.
See, one of the reasons why we need to have a thankful heart, John, is because it's not about us, but it's for us. As I've said before, it's not about you, but it sure is for you. So if we have a thankful heart, we're now heading down the road of humility. And that's only something you can do. You're the one that humbles yourself. God does the breaking. We humble ourselves like Paul and others did. And then once you humble yourself, then you step into another territory, which is another level. We now are able to identify with him, and we now are able to, once we have a thankful heart, then praise, like I said, naturally comes out of us. Now we're in his presence, and then comes the third step. And what is that? Our petitions.
Right.
See, our petitions. Once you're in a position of being really thankful, and I use this example in my message. Have you ever helped someone they didn't thank you? You didn't do it for the thanks, but it leaves you feeling like, do I want to do it again?
Right.
So let's put that on God in us now. When you don't have a thankful heart, do you think maybe we may get less from him?
If you don't have a thankful heart.
Yeah. If you're not thankful, folks, you're spoiled. And it's like God owes it to you. I use this example Sunday morning. I don't know if you heard this or not. I was talking about how this young man literally on Facebook was typing in something about, why would I serve a God who says, if you don't serve me, you're going to hell. I choose hell. That's what he wrote. Choose hell. And what broke my heart was the perversion of God's love. What the devil does with truth and perverts it. So I said, here's really what the boy should have said. I'm in a pit. I'm dying. I'm cut up. I'm bruised. I'm not going to make it much longer. I'm in a lot of pain. And someone comes along and pulls me out of that ditch, cleans me off, heals me, feeds me, and takes me to one of the best resorts there is. And you're going to turn to him and say, how dare you give me a choice?
Wow.
Yeah. That's the perversion of God. God's love is so awesome, John. He is so amazing. His love is far beyond what we have any comprehension in. And yet, if the devil's allowed to get in your ear, of course, the biggest reason why we don't serve God is because we want to do our own thing. Mm-hmm. We don't want to call ourselves a God, but that's basically what we're doing. Have no other gods before you, including yourself in the mirror. We are to serve him, to love him. And you know what, John? If you'll do the right thing, if you and I'll read the Word of God and do what it says, people are going, there's a lot of times, John, we're praying for God's leadings when we don't need to. It's in the Bible. You don't need to pray to be blessed people.
Right.
You know what? Did you hear me tell the story about the person that that met a person coming out of Kroger's?
No.
This couple was coming out of Kroger's, and they were getting ready to close, and this man was wanting to come in, a homeless man, I guess. It's a great story. And they said, "Man, sir," he said, I'll call the police if I need to. You can't come in. They're closing." And they were leaving, this couple. And they went just down the road to McDonald's, and they were getting ready to close, and they saw him over there going through the garbage. Now, this person's fairly new and understanding the walk with God and listening to his voice. See, there's people spending their whole life calling themselves Christians, but have no concept of a word from God or hearing from God or responding to God's voice. No relationship at all.
Right.
It's all platonic. Anyway, so they went on. He's thinking, "I want to help him. What do I do?" See, they're learning. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
So they went through the drive-thru, and he ended up getting something for the man and nothing for himself. And this guy ends up standing in the drive-through line right behind the car. He doesn't know that they're his blessing. He doesn't know that,
wow.
But he's standing right behind his blessing. It gets better. So they pull up the drive-through and pay, and he go to the second window. Well, he's right behind him in the second one, standing there. I guess he wants to go to the window and see if they'll give him something. And they come to the window and said, "Hey, we're getting ready to close. Do you want all the fries we have left?" He said, "Give me all you got."
Wow.
"We got all these cookies left. Do you want them?" "Give me all you got." Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a really cool story because there's more to it than I'm saying right now. So this guy walks past them because they're closing, and he found some food in the garbage. He's just laying it out to eat it. And so this guy walks over and gives it all to him. And he's very grateful, very thankful. Now, here to me was the key of the story. This was a young Christian in the sense of leadings and followings. And God will do this, especially when you're a new Christian. God was showing him, "Watch me work." Mm-hmm. You made yourself available. You wanted to do the right thing. Watch me work now. See, God's always wanting to say that to us, but we hardly ever get to the point where God can say, "Watch me work now." The key word is now, because you've opened the door, you've been obedient, you followed the word, you obeyed what God says to do, you're trying to hear his voice, and so you do it. God would rather you miss it trying to do the right thing than not doing anything.
Mm.
God would rather you miss it trying to do the right thing instead of not doing anything. So he made himself available right then. So God, that guy opened the door for God. God steps right in and says, "Watch me work now." So God loads him up with more food for the guy than he bought. And here's the biggest part of the whole thing. So you can feed a man for a day, but you know the old expression about fishing and all that.
Sure.
That man that he helped, at some point, if he's capable, God's going to want that man to start responding right. You can pray for someone, John, that's obese with diabetes, and God can heal the diabetes. But you'll have the next day because you still have the problem. You got to get rid of the problem too. You got to do your part too.
Right.
So the big thing about this that I drew from it was God encouraged this new Christian, "This is what happens when you obey me."
Wow.
Yeah. "This is what happens when you obey me. Watch me work now."
So, but you see people though, you remember back in the 80s where it's like we're looking for the leadings, the waitings, that we're waiting on God, looking for the leadings.
Yes, yes.
You know, those kind of things.
Yes.
But then you said something just a few minutes ago about the following. Is leading just as much important as the following?
Yeah.
Because we could have the leading
and not follow.
And not follow.
Yes. You have. If we wait on the Lord, we are waiting for word.
Yeah.
The Bible says that if you, he'll pour into your bosom. You know, you got two great scriptures that talk about how God blesses you if you give, Luke 6:38 and Malachi 3:10. And one of them says, if you, I'll pour into your bosom. Right. Well, one interpretation of bosom is the word lamp. On the day of Pentecost, it tells us, what were they doing? They were setting.
Right.
They had a lamp.
Right.
They were ready to receive.
That's so good.
When you get in the right position, then you're ready to receive.
Yes.
And so that's what God's wanting to do, is get all of us to a place where, I tell people, I said, every week you should be so excited to get the church to tell what God did that week, because he will turn any encounter into an opportunity. I said it may not be a big thing, but if you have your intent, if I can go out and run and minister to three different families or people on a run. It's just like I was saying the other day, John. I was out running, and I got done. I was doing my cool down, and I saw a guy ahead of me working on the yard. What did I do? I took my earbud out in case God wanted to work.
Right.
And I walked past him. As soon as we got past each other, we both did this to each other. I didn't know him, but as soon as I got right to him, he said, "My hip's hurting me." I said, "Sir," I said, "what's going on?" See, if I had not been available, if I was listening to whatever, right. And John, it could be a wonderful sermon.
Because it wasn't by accident that he told you that.
God's will is not religious.
Yeah, that's good.
It's not. God's will is holy.
Right.
And I tell people this a lot, too. Whenever you're in a situation where God uses you and you know he's in it and he's working with you, right then you're in the center of his will.
That's so good.
Because he's in it.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. God, are you in it? How many times do we pray that? Not enough.
Right.
God, are you in this? Should I be? It looks good. The door's open. It has this. God, are you in this? And then you prepare for an answer by creating a lap, by sitting, spiritually speaking, you're sitting and waiting on him so that he can pour into your bosom, so he can pour into your lap. God's trying to find people that will slow down long enough so he can catch up with them.
Yeah, because people are moving so fast.
Oh, yeah, we're way ahead of God. We got all. I got this one, God. I got this. I did this yesterday. I know exactly what to do. Well, you may or may not. Because right. God, you know Jesus, when he healed, he never did it. I don't think he ever did it twice the same way. Of course, there's a lot of experiences we don't see in the Bible. But he did so many different things, and you kind of wonder if he did that simply so that we did not get into routine.
Mm-hmm.
Stamp it out. I heard one man say, this is how I got healed, but I don't want to tell you everything because you'll pick it up as a doctrine.
Wow. Yeah.
In so many words.
Because if it happens once, they think, you know,
that's
it's going to happen.
That's why it's going to happen again. And so we look to mimic. You can mimic someone's actions, but not have, like I said about the revelation, you can mimic someone's actions and not have the revelation yourself.
Right.
I love to quote people. I was quoting people, John, for two years maybe, just, and I love this. Some wonderful quotes, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But I can't preach the revelation.
Right.
And so you know what God started doing? I think I'm now over 100 quotes he's given me.
Quotes of that
just
he's given you.
He's given me. See, he wants us to have the revelation. It's one thing to share people's words, and it encourages people. I encourage that. I don't discourage that. But it comes a point where if you ever want to expound on it, you better have a revelation.
Right.
And that's not going to come without sacrifice and giving of yourself. Because, John, there's so many doors that we can't fit through. Our head's too big. We got to humble ourselves so we can get through.
Yeah. So what do you tell that person, John, that is dry?
Yeah.
What do you say to that person that maybe is sick? What do you tell that person today?
Well, you share with them, first of all, the best you can through your experience. And that's what changes lives is when people hear it through experience, how much God loves them. Oh, I said, if you had any idea how much God loves you, if you had any idea how wonderful he thinks you are,
right?
Then before you know it, we're ministering to the heart of that person, not their head.
Wow.
And what God wants to do is go one-on-one with the Father. See that, and when you go one-on-one with the Father, then now he's with you and he's leading you and he's trusting you with things he can't trust with everybody, and it gives you an opportunity. Because John, if you could hurt people with the Bible, and people do,
mm-hmm.
then think of the damage you could do if we're not led. If we don't have folks, we need a revelation of God's love, and most of the people, the only way they're going to know that love is seeing it through you. Jesus is going on to heaven. It's seeing it through us. And that's why we need to have this walk. Don't call yourself a Christian if you're not going to at least try to walk it. Because you can cause a lot of damage calling yourself a Christian mm-hmm. and just doing all kinds of stuff, really. Don't do that. Get along with God until you feel like you've really worked out your salvation. See, when the Bible says work out your salvation with fear and trembling, you got to understand that if you go out and don't represent him wrong, there's a penalty to pay. So you better work it out with fear and trembling. You better know what you're talking about. You better walk it. Now, you could be a brand new Christian. Sometimes God works with brand new Christians better than older Christians. They're just so fresh and new. Why? Because they have a childlike faith about the love of God. And that's what we're all trying to get to. No matter how old you are, you're trying to get to be a child of God.
Right.
Children that trust him and love him and want to obey him. One of the great ways you know if a person's saved, of course, is if they don't want to sin.
Right.
See, that's a key. People are going out living, sleeping with people and doing this and hating people and calling themselves Christians and even going to church and just hurting people and not representing the true God. That's why people say, well, I don't want to serve your God because of what they see in you. So what you want people to say is, man, where do you go to church? Or could you pray for me? Or can I share something with you? See, they feel like they can trust you. And once people see Jesus in you, they're not going to see Jesus in you until they see him on you.
That's good.
They're just not. You can just fake it so long before there's an accountability. That's why we work our salvation with fear and trembling. So back to your question, if I was talking to someone right now, and you may be listening right now on delay, hey, if you're here on delay, I tell you what, you're right on time. That's how awesome God is. God loves you so much that he timed this program for you to hear right now. He loves you. There's no one that can do what you're called to do. The Word of God tells us that before you were ever formed, he wrote your life in a book. That's how special you are. And no one can do exactly what you've got. You've got that right chemistry of everything. And so when you walk with him, what you do is you by acting like him, you leave his DNA on everything you touch.
That's so good.
They see that DNA on someone else, they say, oh, there's another believer. I recognize that handprint. So I would encourage you to, if you've tried God and you've had people fail you, let me tell you something, God will never fail you. You will make it to heaven because of your relationship with Jesus, not because people fail. We don't serve, go to church because our church is perfect or no one fails. No, we go to church because God says, do not forsake the assembling together. So I encourage you right now, if you're listening live or delay, that if you have bitterness or hate towards anybody, I encourage, and you're a Christian, I encourage you to get alone with God until you get that out of you. And the best way to do that is to start obeying God's word, and that is bless your enemies. I'm telling you, folks, I've done it. I've been there. I've experienced it. You start praying. Now, you don't have to feel anything. Don't let the devil trick you into that. You just obey God. You do what God says to do and let him take care of the feelings. See, feelings are not a way of knowing if you're doing God's will. Feelings are what God gives us to confirm and say, I was in that, and he lets you experience the Holy Spirit right there. So you just start praying for your enemies. I'm telling you, folks, if you will do it sincerely, even if you don't like them, but you do it because God says to do it, he will honor that. He will meet you where you are, and he will begin to take that hate out to the point where you cannot continue to bless him, bless people, and hate him at the same time. You can't do it. There's only room for one in your house, and you have to do some house cleaning. We all do, and we're all challenged. Don't feel like the devil, like, well, if you fail, all of a sudden you're lost. No, no, no. Dust your shoes off, repent, and move on, and continue to walk with him. Say, Lord, let's do this again. Let's try again. I believe strugglers are going to make it because a struggler is honest. That's why he said it's better to be hot or cold than lukewarm, because lukewarm people are deceived. They are deeply deceived and have a perverted look at God's word and his love. But, oh, he loves you. And I tell you what, you are very special. And I don't have to say that without wondering, because each one of us are so individually made. We have our own retina scan. We have our own fingerprints. And we have our own story in a book in heaven. You're that special. Oh, I encourage you to seek him, to just say, Jesus. And I've had people say this, and I have no problem with this. Jesus, if you're real, show yourself to me. And if you're honest and you're willing to see, God will show up and he'll change your life forever and you'll never be the same. So pray with me right now. You may be backslidden. You may be someone that's never been saved. You may be someone that is walking with God, but you're just kind of in a ditch and not growing. It's not fresh anymore. I want to encourage you, if you know of any church that really, really is trying to walk by the five gospels, and it's the four
fivefold ministry.
Thank you, John. Fivefold ministry. Get in there. Get in there and be consistent with it. And get up front. You don't have to fight as much when you sit up front. Get up front and support the pastor and obey God, and don't let God have your life. Let him work all that out. You'll be so, he said, I have the best for those that leave the choice to me. Folks, he has the best. You can't do any better than God's will. It's impossible. It is that awesome. Thrills, romance, and adventure. And when you go through hard times, he's right there, and he'll tell you, okay, you've been learning this. You had this happen. Now, what are you going to do? He'll check you. Well, Lord, I know I'm supposed to be thankful and praise you. All right, start right there. And he'll meet with you. He'll heal your heart. God can do supernatural things that no one man can do for each other. God will do supernaturally, and he loves you that much. Pray with me. No matter where you are in your walk with life, refresh your relationship with him right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins, suffered your stripes for my healing, persecuted and slain for my soul that I might have eternal life. I believe you raised on the third day. I believe you sit at the right hand of the Father and intercede for me. And I believe that you died just for me, if I was the only one to ever live. So, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you control, and I want to do your will, not mine, anymore. I call you now Lord. I call you Savior. I call you friend. And I call you Abba, Father, and Holy Spirit, the minister of gifts. I praise you, Father. You're so worthy. Oh, you are. You're so worthy. You'll learn this, folks. Amen. Let us know if you prayed with us. Let us know where you're listening from. You may have a praise report or a prayer request. Let us know through the comments during this program. And just let us know you're there, because we are here for you. Our goal is to obey God and reap the harvest of all the souls that are waiting. The fields are already white. They're white with harvest. So I encourage you right now to tell somebody. Tell someone you can trust what you just did, because it will strengthen you in your walk. One of the greatest things you'll do to build yourself up is your testimony. So we thank you for being with us today, and you are loved. And all the things God has prepared for you before you were ever born, he wants to share with you. So you be encouraged. Don't you give up. Don't ever give up. Stay with God. Stick it out. Press into the kingdom, and he will reward you, encourage you on a daily basis if you seek his face. Amen.
Amen. So what do you say, John, to that person that is sick? So we talked about, you know, being spiritually sick, but what about the physical sick?
Yes. I want to encourage you that the Word of God tells us in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. When you approach God, you don't have to beg him for anything. You go to him honestly. You come before him and you share your concerns, your physical needs, whatever they might be. And you trust him with them, and you begin to stand on his promise. See, as soon as you're saved, you win. As soon as you saved, you won the battle, because you now have the same spirit to raise Jesus from the dead inside of you, it tells us. So what you do is you stand on his word, 1 Peter 2:24. You memorize scripture concerning healing, and you can find healing scriptures all over the place on YouTube and places like that, where you can get a half hour to an hour of just reading scriptures. You need to be able to back your promise with the word of God. That way the devil can't steal it. Hide it in your heart and memorize these scriptures and stand on them. Folks, you are already healed. You don't go to God to say, God, would you heal me? No, he said, by my stripes you were healed already. He paid for your salvation, didn't he, on the cross? Is he going to get back on the cross? No, you just need to claim what he paid for. Does he need to suffer stripes again for your healing? No, he's already paid for them. You are healed in your spirit. Your body is whole. Your mind is whole. You are secure in him. As John the Beloved said, I wish above else you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. God wants you well. In Isaiah, the scripture mentions praising God, and that healing and salvation are in the same sentence. God wants you healed just as much he wants you saved. You need to know that. So you stand on his word. You rebuke the sickness. Let me tell you something. When you are completely healed, those symptoms may try to get back on you. That is the devil. You have to resist them and say, no, 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 devil. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I am healed. Jesus doesn't do his will even in heaven. How are we doing? It's his will we're doing. And because of that, he's got things for you, folks. He's got healing for your body. He's got help for you financially, especially if you are a tither or give. And we could talk about that sometime. But if you obey God, he's already done the work for you. It just simply releases your obedience, releases your healing. Your obedience releases your finances. Your obedience releases your calling. All we have to do is obey. Seek him first. Put him first and stand on his word. You are healed. And let me pray right now for you. Whatever you're going through in your mind or body, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing over you right now, over your kidneys, over the lining of your stomach, over bone spurs, over ankles, over mental attacks of the devil, over a sickness of all types, all diseases. With these 39 stripes, he covered them all, every single one. In the name of Jesus, I speak to those things in your body. I command arthritis to leave. I command heart disease to leave. I command lung disease to leave. I rebuke all sicknesses and disease from your body right now. In the name of Jesus, be gone. You're healed. You're whole. God paid for it through his son, and now it's yours. Receive it right now. Praise him for it. Continue to praise him for it. And when it hurts the worst, praise him the most, because the devil does not want you to have what God plans for you, because it's beyond comprehension. And then he goes to heaven to prepare a place for you there. Folks, it's onward and upward with Jesus. He's got the best for you, folks. You stay with him. You stand on his word. You memorize the word. You find people that believe like you believe, that can support you, pray with you, and share with you, and agree with you in oneness. The Bible tells us what two will put to flight. So when you get together with someone and you stand in agreement, you have a much more powerful anointing and prayer together. That's why he says, don't forsake assembling together. So you be encouraged. You stay with it. Don't you give up. We don't try Jesus, we live it. Amen.
What a word today from John Sandy, from the Lord. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that you accept that. Accept Amen. What he wants to do for you.
Oh, he's got the best.
Yes, he wants to do great things in your life. And let me tell you something. God has been in this house today, so you want to share this. You want to like it and subscribe to it, because you got to get the word out to people. You know there's somebody that needed this today.
Yes, absolutely. There's no doubt.
Well, it helped me. I mean, if it didn't help anybody, it helped me. And I'm thankful for what God does.
Folks, when you share this and someone gets help from it, that's storing up your treasures in heaven.
That's so good.
It's like you said, John, it's missionary work. And people don't think about this, but we volunteer our time because we love people and we want to help. And if you get help from this, don't you think there might be someone else out there that if you share it, they might hear it too and get help? And God will take note of that you were involved and you received part of the blessing.
Yes.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen. No doubt. And we do thank all the ones that give to this ministry, and you can continue to do that by texting the word PULSE to 1-304-244-3187. You can also go to thepulsechurch.com, give through PayPal. Check out our website while you're there, or mail your love gift to P.O. Box 141, Gassaway, West Virginia, 26624. Have a great day. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God.